The planet is heating up. People are restless. And the rich run everything. The revolution will not be televised, but it will be broadcast over the next hour live on Radio Chaser.
Yes, welcome to the week's final instalment of Radio Chaser. We have, talking you through what happened in Sydney today, Andrew Hansen, Craig Rucastle, Chris Taylor and Charles Firth. My name is Dom Knight. On the show today, palm tree outrage in Sydney's inner west. Chris Taylor's having a stoush with his neighbours. An exclusive interview with Malcolm Turnbull. Everyone wanted it. We got it. And tensions between the Queen and Meghan Markle over a tiara. Craig's been looking at that. Things are getting feisty.
Ooh, it sounds very nerve-wracking, Dommy. And I'm getting very nervous, Dommy, about the approaching summer in Sydney because snakes on a beach. I don't know if you've seen the picture, but a huge diamond python was photographed. Of all places, it was slithering along Balmoral Beach on Sunday. And it certainly made for the shortest episode of Getaway I've ever seen.
Hi, and welcome to Getaway. Today, we're at beautiful Balmoral Beach.
It's the best episode of Getaway as well.
I finally got it at the right length. And gee, hasn't Katrina Rountree's voice dropped?
Good to see her finally getting away on a permanent basis, though.
Yeah, well, now, she's been doing it a long time.
I mean, you know, we're looking at the migration of people around Sydney and there's a move out west, but obviously the animal kingdom's moving north. I mean, is this sort of a affluent snake that's decided to buy into Mossman and Balmoral?
Didn't you hear? That's what they said. It's a diamond python. Like, if it was a normal python, it wouldn't be allowed into Balmoral.
Yeah, it's a carpetbagger snake.
Seen photographic evidence of this? Because, you know, there's a couple of nude bathers in Mossman. Are we sure it was a snake?
I certainly hope so, because that's a very ugly nude bather, if what I'm looking at. No, it's as thick as your arm, Chris. Actually,
I've heard that before.
Could be a nude bather if it's me.
I don't know when you use these kind of measurements, thick as an arm. It's very different depending on who you are. It's very, like, big, small?
Yeah, was it MG's arm?
If it's MG's arm, I'm scared. If it's Hansen's arm, I don't care at all.
One of those amputees from the Invictus Games, they don't have any arms, so it's quite a small snake.
like an earthworm.
But I used to go to Balmoral Beach as a kid, and, like, there was a lot of shark nets. I used to feel very, very safe. But where are the snake nets at Balmoral Beach? They've got the wrong nets.
Well, this is the problem, because have you seen the shark nets that they use? They're like cyclone fencing. There's big holes in them, so not snake friendly at all.
Not at all.
I reckon eels could get through. I reckon a particularly skinny elephant could probably get through those
very
shark
small
nets.
Mini subs.
I mean, has anyone combed Balmoral Beach for other wildlife? Like, what else is if there's snakes getting through? What else is out there?
Well, you know, this worries me. I mean, you know, and this is a posh beach too. I mean, where are these poor animals going to park? It costs $10 an hour. I mean, python can't afford $10 an hour.
That's the reason they couldn't remove it, is the council couldn't afford to park there and get rid of it.
Do you know what I associate Balmoral Beach with, having grown up in that area? Joe Hockey, you remember the former treasurer, and Peter Fitzsimons always played touch footy there.
Did they?
Yeah.
Really?
No.
Really?
And the locals always really hated it because, you know, Fitz was quite an overbearing, dominating presence.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon the locals just got the shits and decided to send some snakes in to finally get Peter Fitzsimons out of the suburb.
104.9 Triple M Radio Chaser.
This is Radio Chaser talking about a diamond python on the loose in Balmoral Beach in Mossman.
Is it still on the loose? What was the upshot of this, Andrew? Like, is it still out there?
Well, apparently they did finally manage to catch it when it joined that really slow queue for fish and chips at bottom of the Harbour Cafe.
That is horrendous.
That is very, very, very...
Which is now fish and chips and snake.
Delicious.
Our fish isn't flake, it's snake.
But if you are worried about, you know, seeing a snake, don't worry about it. I'm a bit of an expert on pythons.
Are you really, Charles?
Charles reckons he's an expert in everything.
No, I actually did a python keeping workshop a couple of weeks ago.
Wait a second, why would you do a python keeping workshop?
Well, my 10-year-old loves reptiles. Like, we've got a gecko, and we're saving up for a python for Christmas. And
so hang on a second. Your child asks you for a snake for Christmas, and you are going to give him a snake for Christmas?
Are you word of the word no?
Yeah, my nephew wants guns, toy guns, because I'm not going to give them to him.
They're great pets, because you only have to feed them once a week.
They
only ever poop. Well, they actually can eat babies. Fully grown pythons... If they escape, then don't have a baby nearby, because they said in the workshop they can actually wrap themselves around a baby and kill them.
My concern is more just as a Christmas present.
Mm.
Do you wrap the python? Like, do you leave it under the tree? And is there a risk it will get away while it's, you know, before Christmas Day?
Do you wrap the python, or does he get the python around a baby or something? Put it under the tree.
Yeah. Well, that would keep it satisfied in terms of food. No. You put it in the thing. Actually, one of the key things in the workshop was make sure you keep both latches on the box the whole time. Because
thank God you went to the workshop, because that wouldn't have been obvious.
Otherwise, they definitely will escape. Like, they just...
How do you think keep it? Do you live in like a block of apartments?
Yeah.
Aren't you going to kill somebody in your apartments?
Yeah, where I also live and have a baby.
No, but...
I see a flaw in this plan.
But that's Dom's, but I don't have a baby anymore. They won't kill. My youngest is 7 years old. He'll be fine.
If someone complains to Strata within the hour, it wasn't me, I catch up.
So what, are pythons venomous?
No, they're not at all venomous.
It's fine. So they'll eat your baby, but they won't kill you.
And they will bite you, though.
But just a sort of love bite.
They squeeze you to death is what they do.
The instructor, actually, the first thing the instructor did was he said, look how vicious they are when they try and bite you. And he just put his hand in front of the python. And there was just drawing. See all the blood it's drawing? Isn't that amazing? They're so sharp. Right. And you're just going, you're an idiot.
And at what point did you go, we need one of these in our house?
No, but then he did this towards the end, because it was out at Kellyville Pets. And he did this whole salesmanship thing about how you only have to feed it once a week, you don't have to walk it, and it only ever poos. It does one poo per feed.
So there's a lot of upside.
Yeah, there's a lot of upside.
Maybe this is the new designer pet. Like you see your Paris Hiltons with little chihuahuas in their handbag. Maybe everyone's now going to get into snakes.
Yeah.
And maybe Mossman's ahead of the curve in Balmoral. Yes. That's like, that's the rich, trendy sort of suburb of Sydney.
That's it.
They've got designer snakes.
Yes.
Well, you know what people in Mossman think when they see a beautiful python walking along a beach? Mm. They think Gucci handbag.
104.9 Triple M Radio Chaser.
Sydney's 104.9 Triple M Radio Chaser here. We've just learned that Charles Firth is going to get a python for Christmas. He's done a snake handling course, so we might send him out to Balmoral to deal with any future outbreaks of python.
That's actually what happened this morning. Is my kids heard about the python at Balmoral and they said, "Oh, Dad, can we go to Balmoral this morning? Want to go and see it?" Because hardly my 10-year-old actually has this whole, like, they teach you how to grab it if it is going on the attack and sort of being a bit vicious.
Yeah.
you got to sneak up from behind and then sort of have your pincer. You know, fingers to grab it from behind.
You grab it just below the head.
Yeah, that's right.
It must be very easy for you to shop for Christmas. You don't need to go to Westfield or anything like that. You just need to go into the Australian bush and find a couple of snakes. You might get a spider for your other son.
Mm.
Are they into mosquitoes? Like, you know, basically any bite, any little grub is fodder for Christmas presents.
That's true, because, like, we have crickets. We're breeding crickets to feed the gecko at the moment.
Wow.
And Hartley never leaves the lid on the crickets, and they just jump out. And so we're literally infested with crickets at the moment. And then we found a cockroach the other day, like, just, you know, that grows in your house. And he went, "Oh, great, I can feed that to the gecko too."
So hang on a second. You're getting the child that can't close a lid a snake.
And also, you say your house is full of crickets. Yeah. Dozens of them. How many snakes do you think are going to be on the loose?
The other day, Hartley said to me, "When I grow up, can we buy the house next door so that we can store all our reptiles in it?"
I reckon you're going to put Bob Irwin out of business. Like, people will just come to your house to see Australian native wildlife.
What do you feed them?
Which ones?
They all feed on each other.
The
ecosystem.
Does he feed his children? Cockroaches, mainly.
You start them out with pinkies, which are little, small frozen mice, but you got to defrost them first.
Frozen
of course,
mice.
Yeah,
you put them in the microwave.
What section of Coles in the freezing section do they have frozen mice?
No, you go to a pet shop. Like Kellyville Pets has a freezer of mice. They sell them in like packs of 10 for like $10 or something.
Right.
So it lasts you like 3 months. So it's pretty cheap. But then you got to keep increasing the size of them, and it gets up to, like, if you get a big python, you end up having to sort of feed them rabbits and like chickens. And they said, "Oh, don't get your, you know, python hooked on expensive chickens or something like bush turkey or something like that, because they'll acquire a taste for it and then they won't eat the cheap rabbits.
So you wouldn't buy the expensive free-range chickens. you'd get that more factory chicken.
Yeah, that's right.
Charles, I'm wondering, what actually eats snakes? Because I'm just thinking about a Christmas present for my child.
I love the idea you were talking about. You said you only need to take them for a walk once a week. Now, how do you take a snake for a walk? You literally put a leash around its little neck because it wouldn't really hold. I've never seen anyone, you know, walking along the pavement taking their snake for a walk.
No, you don't have to. No, you don't have to take them. No, you only have to feed them once a week. You never have to take them for a walk. In fact, the keeper said, reptiles are sort of ancient animals. They're not at all like humans. They would much prefer to live their life entirely alone for their entire life.
So they're kind of like Dom.
Yeah.
104.9 Triple M Radio Chaser.
This is Radio Chaser. Everyone's talking Malcolm Turnbull. He's back in the country after his trip.
He is, after the bloody coup that took place in August, where for reasons that still haven't really been explained, the Liberal Party decided to get rid of the Prime Minister and install ScoMo, and hasn't that been a fantastic decision? But yeah, he gave a big interview, his first exclusive interview to the ABC last night on the Q&A program.
That's right, and after weeks of holding his silence, apart from, you know, daily leaks about what he thinks about ScoMo and everybody else who knifed him, he has broken his silence, and the person he came to do a one-on-one interview was me.
G'day, Malcolm Turnbull.
Hey, Stephen, how are you?
My name's Charles. I hear you and Lucy held a secret party on your last night in the lodge, and there were reports that Barnaby and the Nationals turned up completely naked and weed in your pool.
They need to really explain why they did it, and none of them have.
Barnaby Joyce had a lot of fun at the party. I heard he impregnated over 13 staffers.
He's very tactile and friendly.
And I heard you hooked up with him too.
Well, it certainly wasn't an accident on my part.
Having seen Barnaby's bright red sex face, would you go there again?
I don't want that to happen again. I don't think anyone else really does. We've got to keep people safe.
Malcolm Turnbull, do you think you'll ever stop sounding like a rich, posh tosser?
I've sort of given up on that years ago. You've got to be realistic.
Prime Minister, thank you very much for your time.
Well, thanks, Stephen.
My name's Charles. Why can't you remember my name?
That's the question I can't answer, of course.
Radio Chaser with you this afternoon.
Bit of a Royals update. It's been a few weeks since we've had the Royals here. I feel like everyone loved Meghan Markle by the end.
Oh, yeah.
Of it. Everyone loved her.
So much so that they still haven't learnt to pronounce her name correctly.
Yes.
Meghan Markle.
Meghan, sorry. Oh, I'm so bad.
It's Markle, Taylor.
It's actually the Duchess of Sussex to you, Craig.
Yeah, true. Well, you should be. There's this new book coming out which suggests there's another side to her. And apparently this person that grew up in Hollywood and is now a princess might be a little bit high maintenance.
Oh, come on.
It's hard to believe, I know.
She baked a CWA cake.
Exactly. No, there's this story about the kind of conflict between the Queen and Meghan. Is that right, Chris?
Correct.
Right, correct. over what to wear to the actual wedding itself. She basically, Prince Harry said she can have whatever she wants. And the Queen said, no, that's not how it works. She'll get whatever tiara she's given by me.
Ooh. Hello. Well, yeah, that's kind of fair enough. I mean, you've got to dress right for the wedding. You wouldn't want to be seen in a Bogan tiara or something like that.
Well, the great thing about this tiara, which I found, this is what I find quite strange, is the tiara that Meghan wanted, the Queen said she couldn't have because they couldn't figure out where it had come from and that they thought it might have come from Russia originally.
What?
So are there all these tiaras in the palace?
There must be a whole cupboard full of them.
But you just don't know where they came from. Like at my place, generally I know where things have come from. And apart from the occasional witch's hat after a big night out.
Right. It should be like your spice rack where, you know, you've got your turmeric, your cumin. Yeah. You should just have all your tiaras labelled in one cupboard so there's none of this confusion. The slight risk of giving away my utter ignorance about tiaras. I don't reckon I could tell one apart from another. Like, a tiara looks like a tiara, doesn't it?
It's easy to tell the Russian one. That's the one that Vladimir Putin's put microphones in.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Does the Queen just wake up in the morning with different tiaras around, doesn't know where they've come from? I think this is concerning.
She's had a big night or something in Moscow.
Yeah.
Maybe the problem with the Queen is that she's too limited when it comes to her headwear. Like, I mean, why always the tiara? I'd love to see her in a fez. You know what? Yeah. Or one of those caps, you know, ScoMo sort of cap style, a baseball cap. Like, why is she always in tiaras?
A practical sun hat, you know, like kids wear in primary school. One of those bucket hats, I think, especially at her age.
Or those caps with where you could put two beer cans in the side with a straw coming down your mouth.
Giant buckets of gin on the side of the hat. She'd love that.
One of those propeller hats would be quite good on the Queen, I think.
I think that's what Meghan actually wanted to wear at the wedding.
That's probably it, yeah.
Now, a bit of a domestic dispute from our very own Chris Taylor.
Look, I've got a bit of a conundrum, gents. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind Sydney's help on this, actually. 133353, give me your advice. I'm sure a lot of you have been in this situation. It's sort of a neighbourly dispute, but no one's saying anything. Like, I haven't spoken to my neighbours. They own a really large palm tree that mostly hangs over my boundary, and it sheds branches, dead palms and branches all the time. You know these palm trees I'm talking about? Yeah. It seems it's autumn all year round for palm trees, like three a day. There's constantly dropping, and they're not small little twigs. I'm talking huge. They're like spears. They're huge things. So my question, do I have the right to throw them back over the fence so that they're the tree owner's problem to deal with, and you know, come green recycling night, they have to bundle them up and put them out the front on the nature strip, or because it's fallen on my land in my backyard, is it my job to do all the recycling? Because at the moment, I've been a really good neighbour because I'm not confrontational. I don't want to create a scene, so I'm putting them all out. But it's becoming a full time job, and I honestly don't have enough bin space to put them all. Like it's like a whole tree a day is coming down in my yard.
Have you checked, by the way, Chris, that they're not already doing this to you? Have you checked? Have you looked over their fence and seen whether they've got any in their yard? Maybe they're tossing them all into your yard.
Yeah. Well, what do you reckon? What are the rules with this?
Well, what's the law? Do you know the law?
I don't know the law. I'm wondering what the moral obligation.
What should you do? I reckon that you can chuck them back over, but I definitely wouldn't want to be caught doing it.
Yes.
That's the thing.
You've got to sneak out at night.
And you know, like, there's neighbours and there's neighbours. We're incredibly on top of each other. Like, there's no way I could subtly do it. So if I threw it back over, they've got a sort of a family room looking out over that whole scene. So I'd be caught red-handed.
Okay, you've got to do it when they're not looking. And the other thing you've got to do, Chris, is you've got to leave a few in your yard at all times so that they can't tell that you're sneaking back. Because if they look over the yard and you've got this beautiful, clear yard and they've got thousands of them just backed up.
We'll go to the phones soon, 133353 on this, by the way. I think have it burn them off so the smoke goes into their property.
I'm trying to make less work for myself, not more.
Chuck them in their yard, but a light.
I should say it's not just palm trees. It's also, you know, those jacaranda flowers. I've got thousands of them. Can I throw those back over the fence?
Exactly.
So what should I do, Sydney? 133353. Is it okay when a branch falls on your backyard to throw it over the fence? Or is it your responsibility? Is it sort of like finders keepers? Once it's landed on your ground, it's yours to deal with.
It's a good question. And while you're there, can you answer, am I allowed to throw my dog poo from my dog over to my yard and to my neighbour's yard as well?
133353.
Chase the lines open now. Time for
Cat's Pajamas or
Cat's Piss.
All right. Let's go to Paris for our first story here, where a lion cub was found in a child's bed in a flat in Paris.
She and Balmoral thought they had problems.
It's a weird story. The thief of the lion was hiding in the cupboard, eventually got caught. But the people who found the owners of the flat who found the lion in the bed sold it online. What do you think? €10,000 was offered for it.
Hang on a second. So they found the lion in the bed of the child. Sold it online before discovering there was some dude hiding in the cupboard?
Yeah.
I don't understand this story.
Never mind the breaking in, honey. Let's make a dollar.
We don't often find a lion in our child's bed. We should take advantage of it while we can.
You know what we should do? Let's sell the kid while we're at it. We'll do a bundle deal.
And the thief. Let's sell the thief. I found a thief in the cupboard. He's worth something.
The six-week-old female lion, I reckon €10,000 is cheap for that.
This might be one of the first times in Cat's Pajamas or Cat's Piss where we have an actual cat at the centre of the story. And I don't know if it's piss or pajamas. It's just cat sale.
Well, ironically, it was in the bed with a child, so it probably pissed on his pajamas. Yeah.
All right. Now, a woman in the UK ordered a wig online. A beautiful grey silky wig, but then sent it back because it made her look like Albus Dumbledore. Very quickly, what do you think? Cat's pajamas or cat's piss?
Made it look like
is that
who?
A cause the wizard from Harry Potter.
Oh, well, right. If you've got a reason for a refund, I think looking like at Albus Dumbledore is the perfect one. Cat's pajamas. Triple N's Radio Chaser.